broadcasting live on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, and in the evenings on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett here today, and Tom. I should mention Tom as well. How are we today, Brett?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well. A nice interview, by the way, with the Children's Museum stuff we were talking about with Frog and Toad.
Oh, with Children's Theater. Yeah, yeah.
Children's Theater. Yes. Very nicely done that yesterday. That was a nice little interview we had.
Absolutely. Yeah, fun to learn a little bit more about that. I didn't know that that show had been playing for so long and had won so many awards. So it was kind of fun to learn about that. And
if you don't have kids.
Yeah, I know. That's probably why I don't know. Yeah.
I've got kids. I know about that show. So that was very nicely done. Our folks in Chicago, I know right now, are very happy after the first round of the draft. Our folks in Minneapolis, St. Paul are very happy because of the first round of the draft. Everyone else seems to be not so happy about the first. I don't know what Atlanta's thinking. Needless to say,
Kirk Cousins is not a happy camper right now. Hey, I signed this big contract. Oh, and they already drafted my replacement before I even taken the field.
You're getting paid a lot of money to ride the pine, though. I mean, let's enjoy that.
How do you like getting hired for a new job? Before your first day, they got your replacement lined up.
Oh, gosh, it's like an Office episode. Anyway, Broadcorp going to join us later in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about that. Dr. Joe Eastman, our COVID and disease expert, going to join us here coming up here at about 3:33. Now, I want to take, if I can, the beginning of this show to scold the left people, if I may, because people, we have to understand something. It's not like we're that different. Sure, we disagree, you know, on politics and stuff, but they're human beings. We're human beings. It's not like they're shooting puppies in the face. What? They are? Okay. Maybe we aren't the same. Holy crud. I am not about to make this up. This is disturbing. It's Kristi Noem. So your standard vice presidential candidate for any ticket usually comes up with their book, like Why I'm Best to Be Number Two. You know, that's their book they put out there. You know, all the arguments why I shouldn't be the top choice. And they talk about this. And so Kristi Noem has decided to put out a book. And boy, oh boy, does she have moments that she wants to share. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, a frontrunner to be Trump's running mate, admitted to killing her family dog for misbehaving. Jesus. I'm not laughing at the dead dog. I'm laughing at this idiot thinking, yeah, this will win over the public. The Republican governor wrote in her forthcoming memoir, Not Going Back, I'm Going to Get That Dog. No, that's not the title of the book. No Going Back, The Truth of What's Wrong with Politics and How We Have to Move America Forward by Shooting It in the Face. No, that shooting it in the face is also not part of the title. Dear Lord. But anyway, she has a book coming out. She admits that she had a dog, Cricket, had an aggressive personality and proved herself untrainable, according to excerpts from the book published by The Guardian. I hated that dog, Noem wrote, adding that reminding me of the movie Arthur. You must have hated that moose. Dear Lord. I hated that dog, Noem wrote, adding that the 14-month-old wire hair pointer was dangerous to anyone she came in contact with and less than worthless as a hunting dog. Well, how was she as a dog? I'm going to get back to this here in a second because I'm going to – this jackass of all jackasses needs to be taken down, and I have no problem doing it with, you know, 101 Dalmatians over there. The governor said she included the story in her political memoir to demonstrate her willingness to take on difficult, messy, and ugly tasks. Okay, you do not shoot the Speaker of the House in the face. You do understand this, Kristi, right? You know that, you watch Yellowstone. I get it. And every once in a while, they decide to solve all their problems, not through, I don't know, the courts or the legal process or just bringing a pyre to a neighbor, but they pull their guns and start shooting everybody, which is really a really crappy way to say hi to the neighbors, if you just ask me. But I get it. You want to live in your fantasy world where shooting people is somehow a noble outcome. You're a psychopath, you twisted witch. I don't know what is wrong with you, but Dorothy, run fast. Wow. This is not like this leaked. She wrote this proudly in the book.
Trump and a puppy killer. There is your ticket.
We had Sarah Palin do a press conference in front of a turkey strangling machine. Remember that?
Yeah.
Turkey was flopping around into the hole. Turkey not flopping around anymore. Well, kind of flopping around, but it got a different flopping around at that point. Dear Lord. And she's like, she saw that video and she said, well, how can I one up that? By the way, this gets worse. I'm serious. She described an attempt to teach Cricket to hunt with other dogs, but instead the pup ruined the trip by going out of her mind with excitement, chasing all those birds and having the time of her life. You know, when I go to the park with my kids and I see my kids having the time of their life, you know what I don't do? Shoot them. Okay. I want you to be in business analytics. How dare you kind of have fun and run around? Noam unsuccessfully attempted to bring Cricket under control using an electric collar, but she said the dog escaped her truck and stopped to, as she stopped to talk to a local family on the way home and attacked the family's chickens. Just like Trump. Sorry. Those bears look good with ketchup. Sorry. Cricket grabbed one chicken at a time, crunching it to death with one bite. Well, like Donald. Then dropping it to attack another. Yeah, just
like Donald.
Where's my third bucket? Compared to the dog to a trained assassin or a dog, you idiot. She whipped around to bite me, Noam wrote. Did you have the gun at that time? I'm Team Cricket at this point. Noam wrote, adding that Cricket was the picture of pure joy throughout the incident. And you saw this. You said pure joy. And you said to yourself, you know what I got to do with this? I got to shoot it in the face. At that moment, Noam wrote, I realized I had to put her down. Noam said she retrieved her gun and let Cricket to the gravel pit.
Not even taking it to the vet?
Not taking the vet. Apparently she sopranoed the dog.
Yeah, it sounds like a mafia movie here. We're going to lead the dog to the middle of the desert.
I'm sorry about your joy, but down you go. It was not a pleasant job. No, she writes, but it had to be done. And after it was over, I realized another unpleasant job needed to be done. Uh-oh. She then recounts how she killed one of her family's goats. Were you training that one to hunt? I mean, it's a goat. She described the goat as nasty and mean, male that had not been castrated. I'm just going to make an argument. Maybe the castration was kind of what made him nasty and mean. I'm just FYI. She dragged him to the gravel pit. Realized the nearby construction crew had watched her slaughter both animals before her children were dropped off by a school bus. Were the kids with you? Kennedy looked, the kids were being about to be dropped off. Thank God. Kennedy looked around and confused. Noam Wright describing her daughter's reaction. Hey, where's Cricket? Are you showing me joy? She said. No, she didn't do that. She did not do that. I guess if I were a better politician, she added, I wouldn't tell the story here. Okay, forget about politician. Let's go with human. I have raised dogs. I've been raised around dogs my entire life. My dad was an exceptional trainer of dogs and had, you know, world-class dogs that were very good at both duck hunting and pheasant hunting when needed. The training of this animal is the responsibility of the owner. It's not the dog's fault. You suck at training dogs, Christy. And as opposed to admit that you're not very good at it, you just took the dog out, blamed it for your problems, and shot it in the face. And then decided to go get a goat for good measure. you are the bad person here. You cannot train a dog. And henceforth, as opposed to admit your failures and work harder at being better, you just basically decide, I'm just going to shoot it. Like I said, Christy, that's not how the House of Representatives works, okay? You have a problem with the speaker, you don't say, let's head over to the gravel pit. No, you don't do that. God, dear Lord, is this disturbing. By the way, and it gets worse. It gets worse. I didn't actually have, my mom had a dog, a miniature long-haired dachshund named Otto, very cute little dog. We had to put Otto down, I think at 9 months, because he got blastomyosis, which if you know anything about dogs, that's the black lung disease and there's no cure for it. He got it and he was dying. And that was a very hard experience. I don't brag about this. I'm not putting this in chapter one, my death count of the book. It's a hard thing to do. What in the hell is wrong with you, Christy, that you think this is a good story? You know, let me reel on in the reader here with this. Let me reel on in here. As you can imagine, she is facing a firestorm of criticism for boasting that she basically shot the 14-month-old puppy because it was less than worthless as a hunting dog. On Friday, The Guardian reported the incident that Noam recalled in her book, you know, off to the gravel pit, another day of sunshine. I can't say stuff like this, man. I can't. Dear Lord. It's like a Depression era book, man. It's like Sinclair Lewis wrote this.
This is by far one of the crazier political stories we've covered.
The book is called No Going Back. Well,
yeah. Very, very fitting.
Well, at least not for Cricket. There's no going back. Holy God. Now, once again, before anyone gets mad at me, I am not laughing at the death of this dog. No, this is a tragedy. I'm laughing at this idiot thinking that this is somehow an admirable story she thinks is going to get her the VP position. Holy God, it's the Matt McNeil Show. It is the Matt McNeil Show here on your Friday. By the way, if Off to the Gravel Pit, Another Day of Sunshine is not the name of a brand new indie album by the end of the day, I will be deeply disappointed. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. In case you missed it, the breaking story today is South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem has shared with us freely that just because she didn't like a dog, Cricket, she took Cricket to the gravel pit and shot it in the face, and then shot a goat for good measure. And she shared this story thinking that it was going to help her appeal to the masses.
No better way to appeal to those suburban female voters. I shot a dog in the face. What a way to appeal.
Yeah. Hope she doesn't get called in for a tie-breaking vote in the Senate. Who's off to the gravel pit today? Unbelievable.
Too much joy from that Senate Majority Leader.
That was her argument. The dog was too happy. It explains a lot about South Dakota, by the way, if you want to know the truth. She claimed, I hated that dog. The Guardian report led Lincoln Project founder, former GOP campaign consultant Rick Wilson, an avid hunter, to go nuclear on Noem. Kristi Noem is trash. Decades with hunting and bird dogs, the number I've killed because they were chicken sharp or had too much prey drive is zero. Puppies need slow exposure to birds and birdsen. He's right. She killed a puppy because she was lazy at training dogs. 100% correct. Not because it was a bad dog. 100% correct. Not every dog is for the field, but 99.9% of them are trainable or rehomable. We have one now who has never gone to the field, but I didn't kill her. She's sleeping on the couch. He wrote before adding, you down old dogs, hurt dogs, or sick dogs humanely, not by shooting them and tossing them into the gravel pit. Unsporting and deliberately cruel. but she wrote this to prove the cruelty is her point. And here's where it gets even worse. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem scrambled Friday to justify her admission to gunning down Cricket at the gravel pit along with a goat. This is what she is saying to try to make people feel better about her shooting Cricket. She says she also kills horses. Horses! Here we go. This is a woman who proudly says she's pro-life. I know. We love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on the farm. Well, then maybe you suck at farming. Noem posted that after on Twitter after being hit with widespread condemnation for the killings. Sadly, we just had to put down 3 horses a few weeks ago that had been in our family for 25 years. Don't let me take her to the gravel pit. She then posted a link to her publisher's website. Did you shoot him at the gravel pit? Promising the book offers more real, honest, and politically incorrect stories that'll have the media gasping. No, this isn't the media gasping. This is humanity gasping. You troll. What the hell is wrong with you? Oh, my God. Does she honestly think that this is how suburban women are going to vote? You know, like, I wanted to shit my dog all the time. No. Crazed people. A season of Dexter. That's who you're appealing to. Well, and I guess people who own gravel pits. But, I mean, no one else. Jesus Christ. She's bragging. She didn't, not just the dog, not just the goat. I shot 3 horses a few weeks ago. Noem, who is widely considered a front runner to become Trump's running mate this year. And by the way, I mean, I don't think this takes her off the list. Did you see what she did to Rover? Oh, that's what you do. Now give me some of those delicious chickens. She basically has been revived. Farmers don't murder puppies, said author Casey Stegman. You slaughtered a 14-month-old puppy because it wasn't good at the job you chose for it, added attorney Jeffrey Gold, suggesting that she committed a felony under South Dakota law 40-1-2.3. No person owning or responsible for the care of an animal neglect, abandon, or mistreat the animal. Trust me, I don't think the gravel pit is treating him well. A felony punishable up to 2 years in prison and a $4,000 fine. A better person would have to admit to savagery and an inhumane act against a defenseless puppy, said author Shelby Ken Stewart. You're trash. No, she is. And once again, it's not the fact that she's a freaking psychopath. It's the woke mob is coming after me. Okay, if the woke mob is anti-shooting puppies in the face at the gravel pit, then guilty as charged. I mean, I know a lot of Republicans who are now part of the woke mob. You sick, twisted hag. What is wrong with you? I mean, she bragged about this. And the goat. And the 3 horses. Do we know where her kids are? Is there a missing kid? We should find the missing kid if there is one. I'd start with the gravel pit. And this race is close. Jesus. And this race is close. Are you freaking kidding me? Right now, I can only imagine what my Twitter feed is going to be full of. Matt, do you understand why we need to do this? You know, it's like, I'm on pro killing the puppy. You know, all puppies must die. Good luck with that. Bon voyage. I could talk about the Trump trial today, because I got Dr. Joe coming on in here. Speaking of rainbows and puppy dogs, guess we got to get into the COVID report. And trust me, it doesn't sound well, especially with the chronic wasting disease issue that seems to be emerging. But Trump apparently took another nap today, a bona fide nap. Apparently, there was a person covering the trial, Littman. He praised Bove's technique, he was basically cross-examining Pecker. Pecker was back on the stand. It was the defense's turn to question him. But Bove was, as a matter of fact, he didn't do a very good job at all. The tabloid, basically, just was so boring that it was apparently a yawn fest. And this is part of the problem, is when you have a case where it's as air kind of tight against Trump as it is, you don't have a lot of places you can go, because the judge is not going to let you just go out anywhere. Tempo was a problem. Overall, moving slowly, Littman said, certainly not making any big inroads on the direct. What may be why Littman noted three times in less than 45 minutes the former president was sleepy, dreaming of chickens. Trump heavy-lidded. I think that's the plaster he puts on his face, actually. I mean, that's a structural issue. You want to make sure you got firm support beams in there. Trump heavy-lidded seems to be dozing off. Asleep for several minutes, he said. Minutes during his own trial. Again asleep between his two main lawyers at 10:47. In other cases, even with big-shot defendants, lawyers would rouse their clients, not here. So, yeah, it was nappy time for Trump. They got the second. Apparently, one of his assistants is now on the stand. I don't know where they're at today, but I don't have time to get into it. Maybe in the 4 o'clock hour. When we do come on back, Dr. Joe Eastman will give us an update on COVID. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting in the evening on WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk and AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. And once again, I want to say this about Christy Noem. I am not, my jokes have nothing to do with what she did to that dog. This is disgusting. It's the fact that she's bragging about it and then doubling down by saying she killed three other horses that just leads, okay, fine. Then you've left the barn door open, mainly because I think you've shot every animal in there, but down at the gravel pit. But needless to say, I'm going to basically take you to task. You unbelievably demented scowl. Dear Lord. I mean, how many good insults have I had on her right now? I'm running a tabulation at this point.
It's tough to say she doesn't deserve them.
Cricket. Dear Lord. Three more horses. There was a goat that just gave me tood, man. It was giving me tood. All right. I tell you what, I feel a heck of a lot safer in downtown Minneapolis than I ever do at the gravel pit with Christy Noem. Let's just be honest about that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Dr. Joe Eastman is our COVID and disease expert. He is kind enough to join us today to give us an update on how things are going. And once again, what is the fine organization that you have been consulting with as of right now?
Yeah, the World Health Network, WHN.
WHN. By the way, just quickly, I'm going to let you weigh in on this because you've had dogs. You got a great dog. What do you think about Christy Noem shooting cricket at the gravel pit?
Oh my gosh, this has been one roller coaster day. I thought it was an onion story when I first saw it. I was like, no, this can't be true. And for her to double down and, you know, go the route she did, I mean, it makes me sick, literally. It really does.
It is. And she's so proud of it. That's the thing which is so crazy. So, you know, I mean, at that point, I think technically the gloves are off for me. I'm going to go to task on her, and she deserves every bit of grief I'm going to give her. But, of course, we're just the woke mob because, heaven forbid, we don't want to take an animal that, because I failed as an owner, I decide I'm going to blame the dog for and shoot it in the face at the gravel pit. Heaven forbid. So, unbelievable.
Exactly. I pity her, Matt, with you on her tail.
I better get ready to duck and roll and dodge because, yeah, all right. Needless to say. All right. So, Dr. Joe, I want to start off with COVID. I do want to get into the chronic wasting disease story out of Texas, because that is something you've been warning about and I'm very concerned, but let's start with COVID. How is COVID right now? Once again, we've talked about it, that it's out there. It is still contagious. It is still growing in some areas. Where are we at now with this?
Yeah, the the different strains of the JN1, the CDC is finally starting to track them, and they just came out with their new report today. And instead of JN1 being the top dog, it's now KP2, which is another variant, of course. But thankfully, they're starting to sequence more of the different variants of the virus so we can get a better track of it. Unfortunately, we're not going into that beautiful spring drop-off where we hit a really nice bottom or anything. We're looking at things just kind of steadily rising. My model even says all the way through August, but very slow increase, you know, because we are outdoors and all that, the fun stuff we get to do this time of year. But it's a very serious problem. I just saw a study that 50% of the population in Africa has long COVID. That's their rate.
Wait. 50% of the population of Africa has long COVID.
Yeah, this was in Ethiopia that I was just
in Ethiopia.
About.
Okay.
It's probably widespread in the entire continent. I would imagine they don't have any reason to believe otherwise. We're going to be approaching incredible rates if we don't curtail things and cut this down. And we're starting to see, plane accidents and just different behavior from people. This is kind of a sign of long COVID.
When elaborate a little bit on that with the plane accidents. I mean, are you saying that the long COVID symptoms that they're causing lacks of people to pass out, lapse of judgment? You know, dementia. What are you talking about with that?
Yeah. You know, because in our youth, if they get it, there's some estimates that their brain ages up to 20 years due to the infection and the results of long COVID. Of course, that's not happening in all of them. We usually go with around a 10% rate, but it's definitely higher than that. And you can't tell me otherwise. So, it's the way it is affecting all of our organs. This thing has figured out ways to bond to tissues, organ tissues, due to spike mutations that is just unparalleled. And that's why when people think they've cleared the infection, they really haven't. It is deep within the tissues of their body. And that's the problem we're having right now. We can't clear the darn thing, so it's pretty frightening right now. And that's almost the least of our worries right now.
Well, you talked about the vaccinations. There's a new one that's out, and people are advised to get it. I'm going to be getting mine here fairly soon. My latest shot, and I have no problem with it. Get your booster shots; they'll keep you alive. I was reading a little bit of an article about this. I think it was on National Geographic. That they were talking about, because we've sequenced so many variations of this, we are starting to get a better grasp of vaccinations. And it doesn't mean that these new variants might come up and which will be out of left field, but overall, it's the vaccinations are doing a better job of with kind of the main bulk of the cases. Is that true? Is that what you're seeing?
I'd have to preface that. We are making progress. The next one will be based on JN1, the next series of boosters that we get. But this thing is evolving so rapidly that by the time we get that out, there's probably going to be something else, another variant that we didn't foresee coming. And we'll keep you out of the hospital. Hopefully, the long COVID will prevent some of that from happening. But right now we need a universal vaccine as a way to stop it. And we got to buy some time, and we got to get people to mask. That's all there is to it. It will help us all. I've done modeling studies on this ad infinitum, and my gosh, it's just so obvious what we need to do, and nobody wants to do it. And our public health officials aren't exactly, broadening us in the correct direction. That's for sure.
The COVID, once again, a lot of people are asymptomatic. Getting vaccinated is good. We want to make sure, yes, go get vaccinated. If you haven't gotten a booster lately, go get vaccinated and get that done.
But you know, how many people still, I don't know if you know the number off the top of your head, but what's our still daily death count of COVID in this country?
Oh gosh, I haven't looked at that in a while. You stumped me. I'm sorry.
You've got a lot in your mind, dude. You don't. Me pulling out a random one, in fact, is not important. But because you're thinking on such a deeper level than this, but it still is. There are people dying every day in this country of COVID.
Right. I mean, we're looking at thousands every week, so it's not going to subside. And the other thing is, you know, due to the long COVID, we're going to see kind of delayed fatalities or medical complications that are could bankrupt us in a sense if we don't start dealing with it in a plausible manner.
Well, and you brought that up. That's another thing I saw was interesting. So, you know, on an unrelated story, in Florida, you can't get home insurance because the cost of the hurricanes makes basically the entire state almost uninsurable. And so unless the rest of the country basically covers Florida, which they're not about to do, you can barely do that. The people have talked about this with long COVID is that in the future, there's going to be so many symptoms and so many people with long-term symptoms from long COVID that it's also going to do kind of the same thing, only nationwide, where it skyrockets up the cost of healthcare.
Yeah, there's estimates that I've seen over the next decade of $23 trillion just in the United States. That's our GDP for a year, basically. So yeah, it's we're getting closer. I mean, I want to give people some sense of hope, but we're still years away from developing fully effective treatments. And that's the other problem is it's getting into so many different parts of the human body that have their own different way of doing things, their own kind of biochemistry, and that makes it hard to treat because, you know, different organs need different treatments and things like that. So we got a lot of work ahead of us, and I know you want to talk about chronic wasting, but this H5N1 stuff that is going on right now has me in an absolute panic.
So this is the bird flu stuff, right? Because we had said that it had crossed to dairy cattle, that it actually had crossed to a human somehow, but they didn't believe it was able to be passed human to human. But now it is showing up, although they are saying, and this is what I do want to get into this, they're saying that the bird flu that's showing up in milk, pasteurized milk, is harmless. It doesn't do anything, but it is there. Is that true right now?
Well, frankly, BS.
Really?
Nobody can say that. 99% of our milk supply is pasteurized. But the thing is, when it comes to viruses, it's not designed to kill these viruses. And, they're finding amounts in 10 different regions of the country or 10 states where the virus is showing up in the milk supply. So the only way we can detect it, but the only way we can tell if it's a viable virus is if we can replicate it and grow it out of these samples. And I don't know. They probably have done this, but the information is trickling out so slowly. We knew about this quite a while back here, and the USDA, the FDA, and the CDC have just frankly dropped the ball. Effective May 1st of this year, get this is going to freak you out, they're not going to report. Our hospitals will no longer be required to report their caseloads, the people in the hospital with the flu and such. I mean, this is absolute insanity.
Okay.
If you ask me.
So I'll dive into my political knowledge. This scares the crud out of me for this reason. If there was no threat, trust me, there'd be a full court press by the dairy industry, by the federal government saying it's perfectly safe, it's perfectly fine, no worries, everyone's good. The fact that they're dragging their feet and they're basically getting tighter and tighter into the huddle tells me that might not be true. And what they're trying to do is figure out a way to not cavitate the dairy industry while telling people, oh, by the way, we have concern about bird flu possibly being in the milk supply.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I consider the USDA, I think of them as a kind of a special interest agency for the dairy and cattle industry, basically, and big ag in general. We've thrown all our eggs in one basket. You know, we grow all our produce pretty much in California, and that's experiencing climate problems. And now we got this with these massive big ag farms, and that just enhances the spread of the disease that's going to happen. So yeah, if okay, let's say 99% of it is pasteurized. What about the 1% of this population that's drinking unpasteurized milk? I mean, that's what, 3 million people right there drinking this, and we're not sure what's going to happen from it. It's awful situation.
So far, there's only been the one case, though, a person that got the bird flu, right? Really quick, there's just one?
Yeah, and then there was a brief report that they were monitoring 44 other people.
44? Okay, I got to stop. Dr. Joe, I got to stop you here because I got to get a commercial break. But we'll start from that point, 44, when we do return. Dr. Joe Eastman, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting in Chicago and Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Dr. Joe Eastman, kind enough to join us. So, Dr. Joe, we were going back. So we had one case of avian flu. We now know that it's in the dairy supply, but we're not quite sure how dangerous that is. But then you had mentioned apparently there are 44 more people that are being tested for bird flu right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to track that down right now. This came from one of my colleagues, and it was just a passing comment to me, and I had not heard anything about it. And I'm trying to track that down right now. But, the thing you got to think of, you know, pasteurization, the fat globules in the milk itself protect the darn virus and keep it from breaking down. So that's a very serious thing right there. When I think about this, it's so much like what was happening with COVID initially. I mean, I knew it was airborne within a couple months of time, and I know the CDC did even before it really hit this country, and yet they wouldn't admit it for years. You know, and then they're like, oh, but there's no asymptomatic cases. Well, yeah, we're up to probably about 60% are asymptomatic, and, mm-hmm. And then they said, oh, once you get infected, you're going to have natural immunity. You'll be fine. And that turned out to be not true.
When I hear this sort of thing, it's one of the things, and with all due respect to scientists, because I do love scientists, but they do like the long game. I mean, for God's sakes, they went back and revisited Pluto. You know, it's just, so they like the long game. They like to go back there and rethink things over. And maybe we were wrong about this. I think sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm a knee-jerk reaction fool. And so I'm probably the worst person to be a scientist because you do need to have this. But at the same time, if you're looking for, well, maybe we need a 14th test to prove that we're right. I think that sometimes is where things go off the rails, per se.
Yeah, you're right. We've seen this play out before, like you say. And yeah, it is important to go back and revisit. But in the here and now, right now, this H5N1, the H5, is an immense concern. I mean, make sure you cook your eggs thoroughly, please. In fact, one of the leading virologists that I know, he's completely cut off all dairy products out of his diet right now because he frankly does not know what's going to come about from this. So it's extremely serious.
And, so
nobody knows about it and nobody's reporting except for people like you. I can't fathom it.
So one. All right, great. Because I don't know many other people that are still talking about this. Okay, so eggs and dairy. We should be careful with eggs and dairy.
Yeah, you're probably safer in a gravel pit in South Dakota than you are with a dairy bar.
Nice. Oh, God. All righty. Beautiful, Dr. Joe. All right. So let's get to this. Chronic wasting disease. Two friends who hunted deer together at the same lodge contracted the same extremely rare brain disease and died, raising fears that they may have been infected by contaminated venison. That it's chronic wasting disease. Now, this is some states, Ohio, I know, had to cancel their hunting season because of this. Minnesota, we've had some problems with this. This is a disease that's running through the deer population, and this has been another one that people have said, okay, if there's a disease that could possibly jump to humans, watch chronic wasting disease, because there's a lot of people that will shoot a deer and it might have some problems, but they're not getting it tested to see if it's safe to eat. And that is the big problem. There's a lot of people are just don't generally do that sort of thing, and you could have a diseased animal and people are eating it, and that's a big problem.
Oh, that's immense. I mean, yeah, they got Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is it's called a TSE, transmittable spongiform encephalopathy, and it literally turns your brain into a sponge. You have no fear of other animals, so if you see animals coming up to you, I just had a squirrel walk about a foot from me just now. I'm like, holy fuck it! It takes like a month, but it's 100% fatal. And I don't know if you remember the mad cow disease back in Britain in the 1990s.
Yeah.
But we used to be approved that you could feed cattle food made out of cattle.
Yeah, bone meal. The bone meal. And they were getting people in Britain that were getting it because they were putting bone meal in their gardens. And they were getting it off that.
Yes. So it's a protein, it causes a thing called protein folding. I won't get into that, but it's 100% fatal. It's not airborne, but it could come through transmission of fluids or just eating an infected tissue. So, gosh, you talk about a miserable way to go. It's awful. Yeah, the seizures, you're grinding your teeth, you lose all sense of reality. It's
Is there any cure? Is there any cure for this at this point?
No.
Wow.
Nothing we can do. You're pretty much done. Once you got it, you're done.
So correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like the only saving grace we have on this is that the individuals that get this, so far it doesn't seem like it's passing human to human, but if you shoot a deer and it's infected, you could have a problem with that. And so the impact radius is not as big, but still it is if you get it, it's 100% death rate, correct?
That's correct. We can control that.
Holy God.
We know what to do, but this airborne stuff is a whole new, is another challenge completely, and we're not doing anything about it. So,
Well, this is just when I thought the most depressing thing I was going to read about today was Christy Nolan going to the gravel pit. Holy God. All right. I want to encourage people. Dr. Joe, I always put a link out to your newsletter. Obviously, you're keeping on top of all this. If you're reading the newsletter, you're getting this information, correct?
That's right. And I'm going to start putting these out even more frequently than a couple times a week. I'll try to go every other day at least.
Well, all right. So much for the ice cream social. All righty. Dr. Joe Eastman, one last thing here. I'll let you have it here because I've got about 20 seconds left. Timberwolves, they win tonight at Phoenix?
I they're going to win one of the two. I'm sure of that. And I will close out the series up here probably.
Hopefully they do. Hopefully they do.
Yeah.
Dr. Joe Eastman, I'll link to this interview and I'll link to his newsletter later on. Dr. Joe, as always, thank you. I appreciate the information and I appreciate you. Let's take a break. Chicago, see you on Monday. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next. Hour number two of the show here on your Friday. Dear Lord, was last hour dark. Oh, my God. Dr. Joe, of course, you can listen to that interview a little bit later. And Dr. Joe's not dark. It's not all of a sudden he's like, you know, goth guy. No, he just is his information he shared with us is just a little bit dark there. But we'll have that information. If you missed that interview, we'll have that there. And the lead story from today, in case you missed it, Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, in a biography, bragged about taking a dog because she's a bad owner and couldn't train the dog. She took Cricket, a 14-year-old dog, out to the gravel pit and shot it in the face to kill it, which she did. Then decided, hey, why not a goat too? Not making that up. She shot a goat at the gravel pit in front of a lot of other people too, by the way. And then to argue that she's not an absolute monster, she talked about how, and a few weeks ago, she shot three, or they killed, I don't know. I would hope they didn't shoot the horses. Maybe they did.
Wouldn't put a pastor at this point.
Yeah, that gravel pit. I mean, I'm presuming you have an easy access pass at this point. Dear Lord. Three horses. Three she killed a few weeks ago. Three. Oh, yeah. If there was only some way we could tell what kind of leader she would be. Dear Lord. I'm not making this story up, by the way. You say to yourself, oh, match Johnny Giggles. No, this is real. It was reported in The Guardian first, and she's basically acting like we're all a bunch of insensitive wuss balls because we're not pro putting the bullet into Cricket's skull at the gravel pit. It's unbelievable. And she thinks, and like I said, she thinks that this is going to have her appealing to the voting public. I don't know a dog owner that's going to vote for her. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. But I do, I want to bring up, we were talking about Nicole Mitchell, and we've talked about her pretty much all week long because of the story. And once again, I have said, and this is me, and I've taken a lot of flack from people on the left, that I have said that I think she should resign because, and I'm not because I'm looking to say she's guilty before she has her trial, any of that stuff. No, we talked about this before. I've talked about this all last week. I talked about it yesterday. You know, this is a common occurrence now. Someone passes away and the family that was supposed to be bonded together, you thought everything's going to be great. It dissolves and devolves very quickly. And in this case, she lost, you know, custody of all of her father's things to her mother-in-law. For whatever reason, the mother-in-law and her were at ends. And so she was at the mother-in-law's house to try to get some, you know, things that she felt she was owed, which, you know, once again, we can talk about many people. I mean, across the board, like I said, I've had a lot of Republicans who have said, oh, they know someone else that went through this exact same thing. It's really horrible. But what you don't do is, you don't just, because, I mean, once again, she's charged with burglary. And so things didn't go as planned, I guess. I think, you know, that's a pretty obvious point at this point. But she, I think she should step aside because clearly there's a lot of personal issues she needs to deal with right now. And if you're at the point of even in your best case scenario, even in your best case scenario, there's enough concern I have about what happened here. Resign, and, you know, and you can always run again. Take care of your personal matters and then come back. And that's the way I've said it. And, you know, once again, innocent until proven guilty, but that's the case may be. So Brad Waldera posted something up on social media today, and it's the Drake meme where Drake is like, I don't want anything to do with that. And that I don't want to do anything with that is resign for Nicole Mitchell. But Drake is very happy when he's electing Donald Trump, who has dozens of felony charges against him right now. And the way I wrote it when I posted this was, a lot of people on the right who have been praising me this last week won't like this, but the truth is the truth. You guys have a very bipolar standard of outrage. And if you are looking at Nicole Mitchell and saying, she has violated the sanctity and trust, she needs to resign, Well, then you sure as heck should be talking about that with Trump. Because Trump has clearly, I mean, and so far, his whole defense in this hush money case is, nuh-uh, and that's not going to fly. I mean, he's going to lose that case. The only hope he has in the other cases is, can he delay them, become a dictator, and then make them go away that way? That's his only option. If he doesn't win the election, which I still think he will not win in November, if he does not win the election in November, I honestly think the man will be fleeing the country. I think he'll go to Saudi Arabia, or he'll go to Qatar, or maybe even Moscow, and he'll never come back because he knows that he's basically screwed at that point. So, because there's no way on the planet he's going to be able to deny, at least, especially Jack Smith. He's not going to, Jack Smith is not going to help that case for 4 years. That case is going to go through in the next 4 years. He knows it, and he's, you know, pretty much dead to rights on this. And so we'll have to see where it goes. But it's been interesting to see the amount of Republicans who keep coming back on this point about Trump and trying to make an argument that, no, there is a difference. Well, yeah, there is a difference. Trump has a lot more charges against him. That's the difference. You know, and you say, well, she's being charged with burglary. Well, he took state secrets and refused to give them back, had them stashed in secret rooms, and some of them have completely disappeared. That sounds like burglary to me. That's what, about seven of the charges right there. You know, the attempted usurping of an election, the attempted overthrow of the government, hush money payments. He's got a cavalcade of stars at this point. But yet, here's this was Cheesy Cobra. And, you know, just once again, on your troll identification card, Cheesy Cobra has 28 total followers. 28 total followers on social media. Trump is innocent. She's guilty. That's the difference. Okay. Then comes I Am Threeper, who has a whopping 284 followers, in referring to Trump, saying, except this isn't the truth, and you know it.
Well, don't you know it?
Actually, I do know. No, he is right. Guilty. He's you know, that image of him in his mugshot being taken? That was him being arrested. So, you know, you keep talking about this stuff ain't happening. It's happening. And they've got the evidence. Unlike your, you know, your election fraud trials, we have evidence in these cases. You cannot sit and say Nicole Mitchell should resign unless, if you want to be at all, hey, if you just want to be a hack and say, I don't care, the R next to their name means they're not guilty in my mind. A D next to their name means they are. Hey, I'll disagree with you. I'll think you're kind of weak. But at least you're consistent and honest about it. Well, I'm not saying consistent. You're not consistent. You're inconsistent, but at least you're honest about your inconsistency. How about I say it like that? You're honest about the fact that you're just a hack. Fine. But if you are out there making the argument that Nicole Mitchell should resign, then the next words out of your mouth is, just like Donald Trump should step aside and not be running for president. And if you sit there in any way, because there is no way any of you on the right can argue that one trial has merit and or one case has merit, I should say. I think of Trump in his trials. One case has merit and the other cases don't have merit. You've just basically said that's not true. And that is the only thing that is basically your argument, that I don't want Trump to be guilty. He's guilty. I mean, he really is guilty. I mean, how many bathrooms at Mar-a-Lago filled with classified documents do you need to see? You know, I mean, Pecker was on the stand in New York, basically, oh, here's how we did it. That's like, okay. It's not exactly drawing a line from A to B. It's just, we're at that point. Here it is, you know. You cannot say Trump is innocent of his charges because I just got gumption and a feeling, and then yet say Nicole Mitchell is guilty of hers. Now, I have said this about Nicole Mitchell, and this is one of the things that I'm concerned about. She is saying, her lawyer is saying, we talked about this yesterday, there is an explanation for this. I as sure as heck hope there is one, and that she has shared this with the DFL and the other senators, that maybe the Senate or the Senate leadership would be Aaron Murphy. I'm hoping she has shared her defense to say that, you see, this is a misunderstanding. This isn't what they're saying it is, because she's requiring a lot of Democrats to stick their neck out for her. And you are putting a lot of them into a really bad place, that if they're backing you up and you do not have the explanatory evidence to explain what happened, really, well, then you're jeopardizing a lot of them. So I am hoping that there is evidence. I'm hoping that she has shared this with the DFL and the Senate majority leadership. And so that when people are sitting there and taking her side, they're not just doing it blindly, that they're doing it with the feeling like, yeah, we've got a case here. But that being said, is she's innocent until proven guilty. And as much as you want to believe your Alpha News fueled right wing narrative machine, she is entitled to her day in court. And I've said this before about the Republicans, when they're out there insisting that she should resign because she's been accused of a crime. That's not a standard they would want on any of their House or Senate members. And that, you know, of course, it doesn't stop them. They'll just basically say, well, that was different. This time it's a Republican. We can't kick them out of office. But it comes down to one simple thing. You have no basis for argument. If on one side you're saying Nicole Mitchell has to resign, but yet you're still voting for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has a heck of a lot more felony charges against him, and his crimes are far, the attempted overthrow of democracy itself, the attempted theft of an election, paying off a porn star to spank him with a magazine with his own face on it while his wife was at home with their newborn child, and then trying to cover up those expenses as legitimate business expenses. The sexual assault of Eugene Carroll. I'm not saying that Nicole Mitchell's stepmother wasn't scared. I'm not saying that there wasn't a danger here. I'm not saying, I don't know what the details are, but if you're going to sit there and say she needs to resign, well, then your next words and Donald Trump shouldn't be running too, because if you try to pull it off both ways, then we just know you're a hack and your argument itself has no merit. None. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Friday. I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser. Midnights become my afternoons. When my depression... Higher, your love has set me free. Now nothing's out of reach. Higher, higher. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. By the way, former strip columnist John Renan. Christy Nolan killing a puppy will probably upset more voters than Trump launching a coup. As advertised, yes. I mean, George Carlin was talking about the fact that you could have an army film and 100 soldiers get killed, but one puppy comes limping across the screen and everyone's like, oh, no. You know, we have a tendency of doing it that way. So 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A few days ago, I talked about, was there a protest over at United Health? And apparently there was, and a lot of people are trying to keep it quiet. But John in Minneapolis wants to call in and talk a little bit about the protest that happened at United Health headquarters. Hey, John.
Hi, Matt. Hey. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, sir. So were you at that protest?
Oh, I sure was. I'm a semi-retired physician. I've
been working for healthcare for all for about 25 years. This was a protest organized by People's Action, which is a national organization. We had people from about 15 different states taking over the lobby of United Health Group. This was in their Optum building, and this was kind of a die-in. And I was at that protest, and I was one of the people who was dead, actually. And what we accomplished was that they agreed to meet with us sometime in the future, and we're demanding a number of things of United Health Group, including stop denying claims for people who are sick and need health care, decrease the pre-authorization requirements that they have, stop using our health care dollars to lobby politicians, stop overbilling, which is called upcoding, and hold open meetings for policyholders. There's a few others, but those are the important ones. So we're going to take those demands to them, and if they don't meet those demands, we're going to be back.
And it should be noted that a lot of the insurance companies are the same thing. They're making tons of money. Their executives making obscene profits on their salaries and their benefits. And yet we're back to a point where they're trying to cut and limit the amount of health care people can receive because, heaven forbid, we actually have a health care system that cares about the people.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, on April 16th was the same day the United Health Group announced their profits. Not their total income, but their profits for the first quarter. It was $7 billion. That's with a B.
That was United Health Group?
No, profits for United Health Group in the first quarter was $7 billion. And that's our taxpayers' money that should be going for health care, but it's not.
Heaven forbid they spend some of that on computer security. All righty.
That's the problem they're having also.
Yeah. And once again, that's profits. That's not their total income. That's just the profits they made in the first quarter.
That's just the profits. Yeah, that's just the profits.
It's making the oil industry look like it's modest. All right. So if really quick, if people have an interest in finding out more about your group, is there a website or something they can go to?
Yeah, go to Physicians for National Health Program, Minnesota. And we have a lot of information there about what's going on in the healthcare field. The whole healthcare system is broken and needs to be fixed. But this is one of the worst aspects of it. We do need to do something about the health insurance companies.
John, I do apologize for the rest of the media in this town falling down and not actually talking about this because, I mean, I think one or two places had a really brief story, but the fact is you had a major protest at a major company here, and a lot of people have no idea that that actually happened. I commend you guys. Nice job there.
Yeah, I agree with you. We were very disappointed in the lack of actual media coverage. That's one of the reasons I'm calling you, Matt.
No problem. Well, I talked about it, and I will say this. Heaven forbid you guys, I don't know, cover the news. Hey, that's just me, though. All right. John, thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call today, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. And now, Physicians for National Healthcare in Minnesota, I'll find that website, and I'll post the link to it a little bit later on all the socials. Brett, when was the last time you were downtown? You were downtown for
That's what I was just thinking.
Sexy Liberal.
Yeah, not long ago.
Do you remember how busy it was downtown? How insane. I had just come back from Chicago a week earlier. It was busy on Hennepin Avenue and First Avenue North as it was on Michigan Avenue. It was insane. I couldn't believe how many people were out there. It was great. I mean, it felt like a thriving, bustling city. And when we were down on the end of Nicollet Mall, down at On the Rocks, Nicollet Diner, we were down there. It was packed down there.
I was looking for the no-go zones. I couldn't find them.
The ghost towns?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to say this. A lot of people will say, well, you need to go over to the IES Theater on Monday because there's no one in there. Sir, I got bad news for you. It's pretty spare in Donaldson's, too. Now, you might be asking yourself, Donaldson's, Matt? Where's the Donaldson's? Oh, that's right. It closed in 1987. Because that's what happens. Some areas are popular for a while. Some areas are not popular for a while. It's called turnover. And although businesses are returning to downtown Minneapolis, and indeed I've had some people, especially on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, say the Skyway is getting pretty busy. Some places maybe not as much as others. The reality is there are tons of people downtown. Now, I already know what the Republican guys are going to say. You know, we already know that. That's okay. But you see, is I'm bringing the numbers with me this time, and we have emphatic proof. The biggest uptick in activity in any city in the United States and Canada is Minneapolis in 1 year. Minneapolis recently saw the largest 1 year over year increase in downtown visitors, according to a new study examining the recovery of major North American cities. A new cell phone survey activity study from the University of Toronto's School of Cities found Minneapolis experienced a 45.3% increase in visits to downtown when comparing February 2024 to March of 2023. The increase in visitors in Minneapolis represents the largest jump documented in the study, which examined 64 major cities in the United States and Canada. While 50 of the downtowns studied showed an upward trajectory, Minneapolis, Montreal, Ottawa, Chicago, Louisville, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Boston, D.C., Toronto all showed the strongest signs of recovery. The Minneapolis data shows a significant increase in visitors in the months of June and July. Notable events during that time were the Taylor Swift concerts at U.S. Bank Stadium, the Pride Festival, the Kiwanis International Convention, which basically led to record hotel bookings there. And by the way, I've heard from a lot of people that that went really well. And a lot of people were very impressed with Minneapolis. While the study didn't extend to March of 2024, the Big Ten women's basketball tournament held last month also brought substantial boost to downtown Minneapolis. Okay, everywhere I go in this city, especially on Friday, Saturday nights, it's packed. Eat Street, last week, Saturday, I went down to Eat Street. Packed. Packed to the gills. Went to the Guthrie twice last week. Not only was the Guthrie busy, because obviously a theater's going on, but all up and down 2nd Street there, just north of Washington, that one block, packed. People walking, people biking, people everywhere. North Loop, get out of here. I mean, North Loop is packed. You go across the river towards Comanchecks and everything, that's packed every time I go over there. And then Hennepin Avenue and First Avenue on a Friday, Saturday night are looking big. And don't get me wrong, I get it. 50% of the state have vowed you're not going to come here. We don't need you at this point. Bon voyage. Stay back there and think we miss you. We don't. They wish I was there. No, not really. I don't know. I really could care less. It is nuts how busy this town is getting. And I don't need some delusional hag who wants to push a narrative screaming at me about, oh, is that? I got numbers that prove, oh no, we're coming down here. And if you can get over yourself, you're welcome to come down here too. But if you don't want to, we ain't going to miss you because there's a lot of people downtown. Let's party. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show here on your Friday. You know I'm always looking fly.
Hey, Ben, when you gonna stop playing?
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Friday. I've got Broadcorp joining us because he wanted to, apparently something about Streak and we got, McCarthy. So we got to talk to him about that. He's very happy. Our Vikings expert. And, of course, an expert in politics. I might ask him a little bit about Nicole Mitchell, what his quick thoughts are on that. But we'll talk with him coming up here in just a moment here. Minnesota's largest abortion opposition group is spending more than $1 million in an effort to derail the proposed Equal Rights Amendment and keep it off the 2026 ballot. Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life, what? Contends that most Minnesotans aren't aware of what state laws already allows when it comes to abortion rights. The group's opposed to the ERA because it would make those rights more permanent by placing them in the state constitution. Okay, so wait a second here. Your argument is we don't need the bill because there's all these rules in the place, and so they're already there, so don't enshrine them further.
because it'd be almost impossible to undo it if you did that. I see. We believe, and we have seen that Minnesotans know the truth about what is going on here in St. Paul and then the legislature, emphasis added by me. They are appalled and activated. I think our legislators are seeing that and hearing it, said Kathy Blaser, B-L-A-E-S-E-R. The co-executive director, she told reporters at the state capitol press conference on Thursday. The ad features a woman telling her friend that current state law contains no limits on when a pregnancy can be terminated. The legislature passed a law that allows an unborn baby to be aborted at any time up to birth, even healthy babies with healthy norms. Once again, this is the standard. We're trying to scare you with things that just do not happen into believing this. Because that's, isn't it funny how every abortion now is for the right is at 9 months, and they're even aborting them after they're born. That would call murder, and no, they're not. But if anything, nothing tells me they're more terrified of this, you know, state amendment. Nothing tells me they're more terrified of this than the fact that they are actually already spending money on it to try to make sure it never comes onto the ballot. They're terrified of it. The legislature passed a law that allows an unborn baby to be aborted up to any time to birth, even healthy babies with healthy moms, the woman tells her friend while holding a smartphone with a MinPost article on display. Well, my pro-choice friends don't even support that, the friend says in reply. It's true, the Reproductive Options Act, a PRO Act, Democrats passed in 2023, signed by Governor Walz, contains no restrictions on gestational age for abortion, but the ad lacks some important context. For starters, there were no restrictions on gestational age even before the PRO Act became law. Abortion rights in the state were guaranteed prior to that by the Minnesota State Supreme Court's 1995 ruling in the case of Doe versus Gomez. Secondly, the up-to-birth scenario doesn't reflect reality in the state. According to the most recent Minnesota Department of Health annual induced abortion report, once again, this is their entire argument that all these abortions are happening at the very last second, which is just such crap because, I can just say this. As a man who's had three kids, this doesn't happen unless, for God's sakes, the wife of the mother is in jeopardy. And I get it. You guys on the right say, you know, like in Idaho, die, 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 because we're pro-life. But that does not happen. According to the most recent Minnesota Department of Health annual induced abortions report, there is only one third trimester abortions in the state, out of a total of 12,090. The PRO Act removed the requirement that physicians attending an abortion must save any viable infant. Supporters of the bill said the language was unnecessary because the doctors are sworn to save patients' lives, and a viable infant becomes a secondary patient. The bill that is now pending in the legislature would be the proposed Equal Rights Amendment on the ballot in 2026. The current wording, which has not been finalized, reads as follows. Shall the Minnesota Constitution be amended to say that all persons shall be guaranteed equal rights under the laws of the state and that the state shall not discriminate against any person on account of race, color, national origin, ancestry, disability, or sex, including pregnancy, pregnancy outcomes, reproductive freedom, gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation? Ah, I see what their real problem here is. We're going to have a constitutional law that says you can't hate people. Unequivocally. All right. I'm not saying that they don't have other concerns too, but yeah. Megan Peterson, the executive director of Gender Justice, contends those protections should be in the Constitution because the control of the legislature and the courts can change with political winds. Exactly. And the reason why they don't want this constitutional amendment to pass is because it becomes very difficult for them to undo that at a later date. And what they're hoping for is eventually they'll get back in charge. And all these things, you know how all these Republicans keep saying, where do you get the idea we only care about abortion? We'll run back into the Minnesota Capitol and scream, we got to get rid of all legal abortion. We need to be like Idaho. If she dies, she dies. Idaho, you are such a screwed up state. Unbelievable. This is an opportunity for Minnesotans to do the un-Minnesotan thing and say what we want, say what we mean, put it back in black and white and take the vote to make sure we're protected for this generation and generations to come. I think it's long overdue, frankly. I think it's long overdue. And the fact that you still have women in the state, especially women of color, paid less than, you know, men doing the same job,
I think an equal rights amendment is a good idea. Because I can't, yeah, sometimes it's hard to believe it's 2024. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. And the reality is that when you have to present something that at best is grossly exaggerating the reality of things, at worst is outright lying just to probably get people on your side. Well, and I'm going to tell you right now, good luck with this. No, seriously, go spend your $1 million. You might as well just take it to the toilet and flush it, because you know what? Since Roe was overturned, this has switched. This has switched across the country. It's switched here in Minnesota. And you guys keep, there is nothing, and I talked about this earlier this week, there is nothing more delicious than watching a Republican go, all you got have is abortion. Well, and you know why? Because you guys can't shut up about it. You guys can't come on out with a, hey, you know what? We're no longer anti-abortion. We're going to allow people to make their own choices. And until you do, and until you stop the stuff with like Idaho and Arizona and, you know, these people here where they're basically trying to make it seem like we can smell through this ad in a heartbeat that it's just not legit. That being said, good luck with that. I think it's about time we had the Equal Rights Amendment, and I hope they do get that passed, and I hope it does go on off, and it is part of 2026, because that will be a hoot to see you guys. Hey, you know, you guys can, you know, still vote Republican and be, you know, pro-choice. You know, you can do that. It will be a hoot. Because that's what you're basically going to have to do, especially in all those, after you redistricted, after the redistricting of the last, 2020, you guys got to win suburban districts. So, yeah, no, go with that hardcore far right thing. Go with it. Go with it. By the way, it should be noted that this is an outside group. I originally read this. I thought this was the Republicans that were doing this. They weren't. It's not. And the reason I knew it wasn't because they're broke, apparently. The state Republicans are completely broke. They are underwater is what the term is, like a house in 2008. It is not good. It is not good. So, hey, you spend your money in Minnesota. You think that this state's somehow going to go take a far sharp right turn. It ain't going to happen. But money you spend here is not going to be spent in Wisconsin or in Iowa or in Michigan. So, sure, we're terrified. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come on back. Michael Broadcorp talking the draft and maybe one or two other things, plus maybe some music towards the end of the show. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I misspoke a little bit earlier here in regards to talking about the Minnesota Department of Health, report they had. There was only one, a single third trimester abortion in the state in 2022 out of a total of 12,090. That one had to do with a health concern for the mother. One third trimester abortion in the state. The way the story read, it said one third. I said, well, I know that's not right. When I went back and read it, I saw that was it. So only a single one happened in the state in 2022. So just wanted to clarify that before we get away from that issue and talk about what is a lot of Vikings fans are very excited about, and that is the first round of the draft. Michael Broadcorp is not only an expert in politics, he covers politics from the right side of the aisle. He's also a great author, but he has also been anointed our Vikings expert. And after he made a cardinal mistake, and I'm going to get to this in a second. Yeah, I think I needed to bring him in so he could basically tell people he's not going to go streaking. Hi, Michael. How are you?
How are you? It's great to be on.
Good to be on, man. So when my first radio job, I agreed, because I didn't think it would be bad. I agreed, sure, you can sell me as far as a radio promo for a date for Valentine's Day. It was an absolute disaster, and I realized, do not open my mouth unless I absolutely have to on that. So I kind of stay away from that. You made the post, if they get J.J. McCarthy in the first round, you'll go streaking, because you clearly didn't think they were going to get J.J. McCarthy. And they indeed ended up at the 10th pick, moving up one spot, and they got J.J. McCarthy. Have you run in the buff through your neighborhood yet?
I have not. And that's another example of me tweeting before thinking and posting. I didn't think it was going to happen. And quite convincingly and quite fast, I was encouraged by both my neighbors and family members to do no streaking and just celebrate.
Their draft positioning was prior to the draft. But how did McCarthy, where this was quarterbacks were such in a premium, how did he fall to 10 at that point? What was your thought on that?
I think it was interesting. I think there was a number of dynamics at play. I think that there's questions about the overall, you know, this was a very heavy quarterback-focused draft. And I think when it came down to it, not every team is in a position where they need a quarterback right now, that they need to be building for their future. And so that, I think, allowed more flexibility for teams to pick, which allowed some of those picks to drop down farther, because not every team that was picking needed that level or didn't need necessarily a quarterback in that position. And so this was a very target-rich draft with good quality, top-quality quarterbacks. And so that created the opportunity for the Vikings to pick up J.J. McCarthy, which is not something – I mean, that was kind of the hope and dream that I had, but it worked out great. And boy, oh, boy, is it a big – did the Vikings do a good job last night?
I read one analysis that said pick 8 and pick 9. That was the Falcons and then the Bears. They basically, because of their situations, they could have easily moved down, which is why I think people were thinking McCarthy was going to be gone. They didn't move down. The Falcons mysteriously went with Penix Jr. The Bears, after they got their quarterback, got their wide receiver of the future. So it kind of opened us. We moved up one pick in a direct trade with the Jets that didn't cost us too much and get McCarthy. You know, there's a lot of people were saying he's a great pick. I mean, he was as high. I went after we drafted him and looked at some of the evaluations. They had him as high as, I think, 6 on the highest board. Some had him well into the second round. But, you know, he clearly wasn't going to be in demand with the need for the quarterbacks as the teams have them right now. You know, talk a little bit about why you're happy as a Vikings fan that he's now your quarterback.
Because I think that this is a guy who I think has the potential to come into the Vikings and play a role the first year that he's there. I think that's the type of caliber of player that he has. This is, without a doubt, I think, you know, this was the pick that I think a lot of Vikings fans were hoping they would get. And so I think this is just an A-plus pick. And I think he has the ability to come in and lead the team if needed yet this season. I think if you look at some of the other, we got to talk a little bit about the Atlanta pick, because yeah, I think that's creating, that will immediately create some drama. But I think the Vikings have set this up in a way by picking him. There's much more, I think, of the type of environment for JJ to kind of assemble into the Vikings team without that type of hostility and drama of a quarterback situation. I think the Vikings have set this up in just a fantastic way, because look at Atlanta and Cousins and who Atlanta drafted, and look at how the Vikings were able to get JJ. And there's you know what we're not talking about right now in Minnesota is we're not talking about any quarterback drama. Yeah. And one of the narratives that has come out of last night's draft is, did Atlanta just create a quarterback controversy in the draft? And that's going to be a distraction. And so I think the Vikings have really did. And I think it's pretty – I was looking at the letter grades that people were giving the draft, the teams last night, and the Vikings were very high up, very high up. A lot of folks said they were the best team that had a draft night. Others were giving them A's and other types of grades. And so I think from a leadership perspective, the Vikings just – wrong reference point, hit it out of the park.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that's crazy about Atlanta, and I don't want to spend too much time on that, but, you know, they have their quarterback. Cousins was already upset, and they were basically, as the analysis said, you've got your quarterback. You need weapons. This tight end that the Raiders got is supposed to be the best tight end in the last 10 years, and they passed on him to go get, you know, Penix Jr., and, yeah, that it's questionable. Let's go to Dallas Turner, though, because this was another big, bold move. They moved up from 23 to 17. They did cost him a little bit, especially next year's draft. but they got Dallas Turner. The thing which is interesting is Dallas Turner, when you look at the rating boards, he was round 7 to 10 on every board. So we got him for a bargain at 17. And if you go with them, McCarthy was listed somewhere around probably 17 to 22. So we got to, you know, we kind of drafted ahead of to get him, but with the quarterback demand that was necessary. But needless to say, with those two picks, we got value for those two picks, which matches up with those picks. And I think that that's a good sign.
Yeah. And think about how many times over the years, Matt, that the Vikings and Vikings fan base has been let down after a draft night.
Yep.
After this first-round draft pick. And I think what we saw, I think that you and I have discussed this at length, that this is the draft. This is season three of the new Viking leadership. So this was their night to perform. There was high expectations that they would pull some strings, pull some magic out of their hat, and bring some quality picks to Minnesota. And it was just really refreshing because, as you know and I know and I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, the Vikings on draft night, there has been some organizational problems. There's been some bad picks. There's also been some successes, but it's just refreshing to have this level of kind of analysis and commentary coming out from people that are a heck of a lot smarter than me, saying that the Vikings absolutely crushed it last night.
It's going to be a quiet night because our next pick's the fourth round, so, and I believe it's second and third round tonight. So it's going to be a quiet night for us here. We're not going to have too much with that. I'm presuming it's just, at this point, it's pieces. Do you think, you and I talked at the end of the season, now it comes down to getting the cogs filled, primarily probably running back. That do you think that there's still some people on the market that are going to try to get into the Vikings camp here to fill up those holes that they still have?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, I think it's fair to say, I absolutely will say this, and I don't want to be overly dramatic. Last night has the potential to be a franchise altered franchise alternating night. I mean, it could really reshape the agenda, the focus, and the trajectory of this team. That's how much it has that potential. And I think when you look at the options that the Vikings have on the field, this is a team that can attract other talent that's out there. I mean, it was just an absolute home run. I know it, and by the way, I know it's football, and I shouldn't say home run, but it was an absolute touchdown, absolute home run. It was an absolute hat trick. It was a three-point shot, a buzzer beater, whatever you want to call it. It was just a really good night. And so, yeah, I think the Vikings performed very well. I will say, if you watch the draft like I did, there was one particular video. I forget who posted it, but there was a Green Bay Packer fan who looked visibly upset, visibly sick at some of the picks that the Packers made last night. And so from a rivalry of the NFC North, boy, oh boy, I think no one did better last night in the draft in the NFC other than the Minnesota Vikings.
Detroit was so ready. The crowd there was so ready to boo the Vikings. And then the commissioner brings out the family of the veteran. And they miss. Oh, okay. That was one way. I thought that was you could actually, if you listen to it right before he introduces who's on the stage with him, they basically goes out there and you could hear Detroit fan already turning. And, you know, the commissioner basically shut the Detroit fans up pretty well with that one.
Yes, and I just have to love it. I love that, you know, Gary Bettman in the NFL and Roger Goodell, those guys are booed more than anyone. And they take it in stride. They take it with laughs. And it was a great environment. And, yeah, it was a great way in which to silence the crowd. But I also will say I did not go to the draft party last night. I've been to draft parties before. And one other gauge that I will tell you on the enthusiasm is to watch videos of what the reaction was inside U.S. Bank at some of the draft parties. It was an absolutely fantastic level of enthusiasm. And boy, oh boy, I was excited. So excited I even contemplated going streaking, which nobody would have wanted to see. But I would. Hey, I did have my Viking tennis shoes on last night.
There you go.
So I would have had a little bit of purple and gold on.
Hey, next week, let's find a window for you to come on and talk about Nicole Mitchell, okay?
That'd be great. I appreciate it. Go Vikes.
Go Vikes. Our Vikings expert, Michael Broadcorp, kind enough to join us today. As you can hear, he's excited. I think if you're taking the temperature of the Vikings fans, I think you got it there. It is a Friday. Why not? Mellencamp. I love Mellencamp. We got ROCK in the USA. Let's do this here. Indeed, one of my favorite songs ever. All right. We are done for a day. Native Roots Radio is coming in next. Make sure you stick around for them. Have a fantastic weekend. We are back on a Monday. Till then, see ya.
Dreams in their heads and bears.